Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and today we are going to cover the topic of risk management in global supply chain management and sourcing. So what are the learning objectives? Understand the various risks involved in global sourcing, gain an understanding of role of insurance in global sourcing, understand in details the importance, coverage and benefits of marine insurance, understand the probable reasons for damage to the cargo, understand the role and responsibilities of global sourcing manager in insurance, gain an overview of key international regulations. The structure is going to be risk involved and importance of risk management in global sourcing, role of insurance in global sourcing, marine insurance, probable reasons for damage to the cargo, responsibility of the cargo owners in marine insurance, international regulations covering the global sourcing and international supply chain. So, starting with the topic, what are the risks involved and what is the importance of risk management in global sourcing? So, you have leaner supply chain, which means that you don't have buffers in the systems. So, over a period of time, organizations have invested significant resources in making the supply chain lean. Now, that adds to the risk. Because if there is any delay, you will actually run out of the material and the operations can come to a halt. So in the good old days when people used to work with higher inventories, even if there was a delay, you could still continue with your operations and you had time to, correct the situation or get the material without any stoppages. So this is one of the risks. Having a very, very lean system adds to the risk. Security risk. Low-cost global sourcing destinations is also subject to political uncertainty or even internal political turmoil. So many countries, which may be, not that, I would put it as, the sourcing destinations, take the example of Bangladesh, etc. So they are a major sourcing destination. They are not very structured. The infrastructure is also not very good there. And these kind of countries are also subject to political unrest. Even some of the more developed countries like Thailand did face political uncertainty there. Some time ago, there were a lot of demonstrations and political unrest. So this also could be an added risk. Hidden costs. The differences in culture, time zone, and other regulatory issues, it is possible that there are some hidden costs in the area of global sourcing. So many times we have discussed in some of the other chapters, it's necessary to understand all the tax implications, the incentive implications, and the various penalties that you can be subjected to in case you are not aware of all the systems. So one has to be totally aware of all the cost elements and the risks that you cover. Quality risks. So certain low-cost countries may not pay adequate attention to the quality standards. There are countries which are known, they will show you one quality when at the stage of qualification, but subsequently you may find that there are compromises in quality. So quality risk is another risk. Compromise on intellectual property. The buyer owned or proprietary knowledge of the design process engineering may get leaked and exposed to sharing to outsourced partners. In the event of adverse business situation, it can result into significant loss of competitive advantage for the buyer company. So in one of the chapters, I have explained how we face this situation. There was a transfer of technology to one of the nations. And before our affiliate could even start manufacturing the product, a similar product emerged in the market, which was obviously a leakage of the IP, the intellectual property. Fortunately, the people were not familiar with the technology, and hence the competition which tried to do this, they failed in the market. But we as a company realized that it was extremely risky, and we actually took back the technology. We stopped the project then and there, and we said we will continue to make the product in the countries where we were already making, and we will continue to transfer the product rather than transfer the manufacturing to that particular nation. So this is one very real risk that companies must be aware of. Risks related to compromise on business ethics. So some of the geographies in the emerging markets rated very high on corruption index and unethical business practices. So these all can compromise on your quality, on your standards, regulations, compliances. They can, pull you down as far as your compliances are concerned. And of course, they can also pose certain other risks, because wherever there is a corruption or there are any frauds being committed, then your quality is bound to suffer. So what are the risks involved, and what is the importance of risk management in global sourcing? So let's look at some of the top risks globally, you know. So one is business interruption, supply chain disruptions. That means, you know, we talked about the lean organizations where you are carrying, very little inventory. You have just-in-time systems. And just-in-time works very well, you know, when you have the ancillaries which are located close to you. But when you are getting material from thousands of kilometers away, then this kind of a risk takes prime importance. And as you can see, this is one of the highest risk as being found from the global study, which is done by Alliance Risk Barometer. Cyber incidents, that means, you know, incidents of hacking or compromising of your system, because of which your IT systems can actually go down. Natural catastrophes, so it could be floods, it could be fire. You are seeing that many countries are facing the issue of the wildlife wildfires, the forest fires, etc. You have the floods, you have the earthquakes, the volcano eruptions, etc. So these can also actually disrupt your operations. Market developments. Sometimes there are unfavorable market development which can actually disrupt your operations. Changes in legislation and regulations. So suddenly, you know that the government actually put a restriction on imports from Pakistan, you know, due to certain conflict. So this kind of a thing, if you were importing material from, let's say, some such country, and suddenly the goods are banned, or there is a additional duty which has been imposed, or suddenly there is a anti-dumping duty which is imposed. So these can be some of the risks, because you are going to be saddled with higher cost without any prior notice. Fire and explosions, new technologies, shortage of skilled workforce, climate change, just some of these. These have lesser impact, but as we saw that some of the disruptions have actually a higher impact on the global sourcing operations. So hidden costs in global sourcing. What are the kind of hidden costs or losses that we generally talk about? Loss or damage or loss of control of cargo during the transportation and logistics activity. So you find that either the consignment is damaged, which means that it is unusable. Let us say that it's a liquid which has leaked in the container. There is no way you can salvage it. Or let us say that the because of a storm or something, the container actually was jettisoned in the sea. So these kind of losses, during the transportation or logistics can happen. Excessive customs duty, and those are subject to change as per country's regulation. So we took the example of Pakistan, where the Indian government imposed 200% custom duty on any material coming from Pakistan. Similarly, they have imposed similar kind of penalties on certain other countries also, where we don't have very cordial relations. So this can be another kind of a risk. Warehousing risk, cargo theft, contamination. So many places are, prone to this kind of pilferage theft. We have also come across cases where a sealed cargo, which is moving from a plant to the port, the container, the top of the container was cut with a gas torch and material was removed, and then it was just re-welded again. And when actually at the port, the container was opened for inspection, what they found was rocks inside. So these are very real risks, may not be very common, but then they do happen. Risk of currency fluctuation eating up all the savings generated through the global sourcing models. So many times your economy is based on a particular forex rate, a forex parity. Suddenly you find that your local currency depreciates, and this can actually throw your operations out of gear, because when you are going to convert the foreign currency into INR, you will suddenly find that there is a fantastic inflation. And there are certain countries where the inflation has completely destroyed the economy, as in case of Venezuela. My company had operations in Venezuela, and it became unviable to actually continue with the operations. We had to shut down the operations. So this is the kind of a havoc or the risk you can even run with these currency fluctuations. Regulatory compliance management standards may get compromised. So even if the regulatory compliances are not complied with, there could be certain penalties, there could be certain penal actions. It could mean that your containers get held up at the port, you may be incurring detention damage simply because your documentation is not correct, or the information provided or compliances are not in place. Costs related to correction of quality defects. So you receive the goods and you find that the product is not as per your requirement. There is a quality defect, and you have no other option but to correct the quality. Otherwise, your operations are going to come to a halt. So this is another kind of a risk which can actually result in additional cost, hidden cost, which are unforeseen. Increased level of inventory and working capital requirement. So already we have said that when we are working with global sourcing, we are actually bringing material from thousands of kilometers away. There is a finite lead time which is required to replenish the stock. So even if you have a quality defect, and if you reject a particular consignment, then there is a finite time for you to replenish with a fresh stock. So all these is going to force you to actually carry additional inventory. Even if it could be that the consignment is delayed because of congestion at the ports, or the vessel getting delayed en route for other reasons. So to take care of this, you are actually required to work with higher inventory levels, and which is also going to push up your working capital. Additional cost related to the vendor. Additional cost relating to vendor performance monitoring. So sometimes the vendor may not be very reliable. We saw that the quality which is shown to you at the time of qualification is different from the quality which is subsequently being supplied. Now, in such a case, you may have to incur additional cost by way of inspection. You may have a third party inspector who is inspecting the material, and only after the material has been inspected, then you are getting the material. Likewise, there could be other measures which are put in place which actually add to your hidden costs. Cost of compliance with extraterritorial standards. So there are certain standards which are applicable in the country from where you are sourcing the goods, and those compliances also cost you money at times. I have already talked about that, certain countries have additional inspections. Materials have to be actually brought to the port 1 week before the shipment. They are inspected, and only then thereafter they are allowed to ship out. We also have had certain compliances, like if it's a DG product, it's a dangerous goods, you cannot ship the material as a LCL cargo. So you have only two options left in such cases. Either you ship the material as a full container load, or you bring it by air. Now, when you bring it by air, the cost will be enormous because it's a dangerous goods. So it may not come by a regular passenger aircraft. It will probably come with a cargo aircraft. And also it will come with special packaging needs. even if it's a small consignment of half a ton or one ton, then bringing it as a full container load is also going to cost you a lot of money. So again, this is one more hidden cost. Stockouts affecting the lean supply chain. We already talked about it, that when you're working with very low inventories, any deviation, any delay is going to throw your operations out of gear. Information system related risk. We saw the system of hacking, or you know, your information system because of any bugs or so going down. In my organization, very rarely this happens, but we had outage because of the internet service provider. Our servers and everything is on the cloud. So if your broadband service or your internet service, if that is not available, then you are really handicapped. So these are some of the risks that we are going to address. So what is what are the key expectations from supply chain insurance? Supply chain insurance reacts to an insured event that is not limited to physical loss or damage. So it's not necessary that an insurance can be taken only for loss or damage to the material. It can be for other things. And what are those other things that we will see? Supply chain insurance is primary for non-physical damage events and resultant business interruptions. So you can also insure against other than damage. That means if there is a loss of business, or if there is a loss of production, or there is a idle capacities which are going because of non-receipt of material, etc., these also can be insured. Coverages for business interruptions as a result of disruption or delay in the receipt of products, components, or services from a named supplier or supply. So as we said, other than damage to the goods, etc., you can also cover the interruptions in your own operations, which is because of delay in receipt of goods or services. So depending on the insurance product selected, types of covered non-physical damage events could include pandemic. So that means, if the delay is on account of pandemic, it also could be that if your operations are stopped because of pandemic, which it may not be anything to do with receipt of material, this also could be covered. Let's say because of strike, civil unrest, or military action. So even if there is a war kind of situation, so regulatory actions could be, the government forcing certain region, the industries, etc., to stop because of certain compliance issue or so, political risks, or other significant delay in supply. So this could be both operations as well as supplies. This can be covered. That is from natural disasters such as earthquake, flood, or volcanic eruptions. Coverage for physical damage perils such as fire and natural catastrophes is typically excess of the client's current contingent time element coverage, which will increase the client's current level of coverage. So in addition to these, you can also have coverage for the normal catastrophes, etc., which normally is covered by the regular insurances. Definition for the disruption delay is structured on either an agreed value basis or actual loss sustained. So sometimes, it can be based on an agreed value. That means we say that if the plant is, shut for supply issues for one day, then the agreed value of loss may be X amount. Or it may be based on the actual loss sustained, in which case you will have to quantify what is the loss that you have sustained for claiming the insurance. Providing protection for both the total and partial interruption of service operations. So it can be, either the total operations have stopped or partial operations which have stopped. So you can have a coverage for both kind of losses. Measure of loss could be in gross earning expected or in number of units from the production or service operation. So, gross earning expected is, you know, the gross margin that you were expecting from the operations, you can actually claim the cover, insurance cover or the claim for the margin loss that you have suffered. Or it could be, you know, the number of units that, you know, you managed to produce less because of the delays or the supply issue. Based on that, you know, on certain value which has been pre-agreed, you can claim the insurance. Multiple supplies or suppliers can be included. So, this need not be with a single supplier or for a single product. You can actually have this kind of a policy which will cover multiple suppliers and multiple supplies as well. So, marine insurance, the origin. So, how did marine insurance actually start? So, World Trade started with discovery of land by traders, and we know that there were traders like Vasco da Gama and Columbus who actually set out, you know, to discover new lands for trading purpose. So, they all wanted to discover India, because India was, you know, you were doing the spice trade, which was mainly happening through land, you know, and then they wanted to actually discover India by sea to actually take back the spices and the fabrics, etc., from India. So, traders used to carry cargo along with them in large ships and vessels. There was a need to protect the cargo against losses on account of various risks, because naturally, you know, the ships, etc., were not very large as compared to the modern day vessels, and because of this, you know, they were more susceptible to damage, etc., during storms or typhoons, etc. So, they had to actually, there was a need to protect the cargo for any such losses that they suffered. So, on the basis of law of large numbers, the marine insurance started with contribution from participants. So, these, you know, I would say traders or discoverers, they were also being financed by a lot of, you know, traders who actually thrived on these imports or the material that the traders brought or the discoverer brought. So, all these people, they came together and they actually participated in the formation of this fund, which they started calling as an insurance. So, the participants were mariners, traders and financiers to the trade. So, people who are financing the trade, they all participated here to form the insurance. And they started contributing towards this insurance fund. So, friendly guilds or associations started offering insurances. England pioneered the concept of maritime insurance and Lloyd's was formed. Lloyd's is one of the oldest insurance, marine insurance company, and that's how Lloyd's was formed. So, and marine insurance is one of the oldest type of insurance, and this insurance is also now called as MAT, which is Marine Aviation and Transit Insurance. So, what are the types of insurance? So, you have the import transit insurance, export transit insurance, inland transit insurance and marine hull insurance. So, in import transit, you know, while the goods are in transit, which you are importing, you can cover the insurance. In export transit, it's material that you are exporting and you are covering the material in transit. The transit could cover, you know, the material movement from your premises to the port and from port to the destination port and from destination port to the customer, depending upon the Incoterms and the agreement that you have with your customer or with your seller. If so, in case of import, it will be inland. For the imports. Inland transit is, you know, when you are moving the goods inland, and we talked about Incoterms. So, let us say that if your Incoterms were CIF, then your insurance by the seller is only up to the destination port. Now, when you are moving the goods from the destination port, that is your local port, to your premises, you need to still cover the insurance because your material is not insured. And that insurance would be the inland transit insurance. The marine hull insurance is normally what is taken for the vessels, any damages to the sea faring vessels, the ships, etc. So these will be covered by the marine hull. So marine insurance coverages, what all does it cover? So physical damage coverage, so the guards, motor, boats and equipment, so these are covered. Risk covered include fire, theft, vandalism. The value of the policy can be the actual value or the agreed value. So depending upon how it is insured, the actual losses suffered by the shipping line can actually be insured, or if it's an agreed value, then that value will be claimed. Liability coverage. So what are the liabilities which are covered? The insured or passenger causes injury to another passenger's property. So if there is a passenger liner and one passenger causes injury to another passenger or his property, these are covered under this kind of insurance policy. Vessel accidentally collides with another vessel or the dock area. That means while the vessel is actually coming into a port, it may collide with another vessel or even with the dock, which is a concrete structure. So all the damages in such cases are covered. Coverage protects passenger and property. So they cover the property which is damaged, and here we are talking of the third party, or it also could mean the second party, because the passengers are part of the vessel and the property damage which happens is basically a third party coverage. Liability caused to other property is covered under this insurance, which we already see when we talked about property. Medical coverage. So in event of boat accidents, provides medical coverage to the insured personnel and the guests. So even the medical coverage is provided, because many a times insurance only may cover, let's say, death of a person. But here, even any medical treatment which may be required because of injury as a result of the accident will be covered. Protection against hospital bills of high value. So if it is a small first aid kind of injury, then these may not be covered. But if it requires a hospitalization and of high value bills, then this also may be covered. Extensive coverage. So you can have a very comprehensive kind of a coverage where even damage to the ship, the cargo, damage to the terminals, interim movement of cargo between two modes of transportation. So in case you have to shift the material from a damaged or a handicapped ship to another vessel, to actually deliver the goods to the destination port, these are all covered. Thank you.